Okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret about myself. I'm a Trekkie. I'm a Star Trek fan. I've been a Trekkie pretty much since the program premiered back in the 60s. I've probably seen every episode of every series and every movie at least once, if not multiple times. I'm a Trekkie. And no, I cannot wait until the release of the next film in July of 2016, which happens to coincide with the franchise's 50th anniversary. Now, for those who are not familiar with Star Trek, there is something embedded in the series throughout them all, and it's called the Prime Directive. The Prime Directive dictated by the Federation that under no circumstances whatsoever are human space travelers allowed to interfere with the natural development of any primitive society that they encounter. No improvement is allowed, no change that would in any way alter the natural course of that society, even if that change was well-intentioned, humane, and totally kept secret. This Prime Directive was the most important mandate that these space travelers received. It was absolutely inviolable. No one could break it. It must always be followed. Well, this morning, I'd like to suggest to you that the gospel we just listened to contains our Christian Prime Directive. Love one another as I have loved you. Of course, in our culture, the word love gets kicked around a lot, like a soccer ball that never quite reaches a goal. We love our cars. We love television shows. We love a good book. We love a restaurant, a movie, a vacation. Some of us even love Star Trek. But that's not what the love to which we're being called is about. The love to which we are called, agape love, is not a sentimental love. The love to which we are called, agape love, is not a fraternal or brotherly love. The love to which we are called, agape love, is love for the other. The love that is expressed always in action. Agape has been also translated charity. Love. Caring for others. But that's not all there is to the Prime Directive. We mustn't skip over the second part of the sentence. As I have loved you. Because when we look at it that way, as we look at how Jesus loved, we discover a love that's nothing less than putting one's life, one's entire existence, on the line. It's nothing short of unconditional love. A love that knows no boundaries. A love that doesn't depend on anything that we do, we think, we say, anything that we might believe. And that's the kind of love to which Jesus calls us. The kind of love that he practiced. Unconditional love. Think about it. Name one place in the Gospels where Jesus' love seemed conditional. Think of one. I don't see any. Nowhere does Jesus place limitation on his love for others. Nowhere. And that's what we call good news. Make no mistake, this directive, this loving one another as Jesus loves us, is an incredibly difficult directive. The kind of love that Jesus shows us is the same kind of love that he lays on our shoulders today, He puts it on us. If Jesus' love is unconditional, now ours must be unconditional. Love one another as I love you. And how can we possibly do that? Just as today's gospel gives us our marching orders, it also offers an answer to that question. It says, abide in my love. Abide in my love. That's what we're being told. As a paraphrase put it, I love this. Make yourselves at home in this love. Make yourselves at home in my love. Things happen when we make ourselves at home. And things will happen when we make ourselves at home in love. When we are present to others, really present, then we come to understand their lives more completely. When we live with them, when we abide with them, when we are at home with them, when we are at home with others, as Jesus abides with us, so we come to know the world as they see it, the way they know it, the way they live with it. When we express our love in action and truly dwell with others, we know them as they know us. As Jesus is known by the Father, and Jesus knows us. It's reflective of the beautiful words of that hymn, Jesu, Jesu. These are the ones we should serve. These are the ones we should love. All these are neighbors to you and us. William Willimon, chaplain at Duke University, tells of coming out of church one day in the early afternoon when he's approached by a man looking for some help. He's looking for what some would say a handout. It's late in the day for Willimon. He was on his way to a meeting that afternoon, and instead of giving the man a chance to say something, to tell a story, to converse or introduce himself, Willimon was annoyed. And he said with a voice abrupt, here's all I have, a 5 and a 10. That's it. That's what I've got. The man took the money. The man looked at the money. And then without a word, turned and headed toward the street. On his way, he stopped. He turned back to Willimon and said with a tone of defiance, I guess you think I'm supposed to thank you, to be grateful. Well, Willimon said, now that you mention it, a little gratitude wouldn't hurt. Well, I'm not going to thank you, the man replied. You know why? Why, Willimon said, because you're a Christian. You don't help me because you want to. You help me because he told you to help. And then he left. Thich Nhat Hanh put it this way. If our love is only a will to possess, it is not love. We must look deeply in order to see and understand the needs of the person we love. This is the ground of love. Abiding with the other, understanding that we are present with the other. When we abide with him or her as Christ abides with us, love can happen. So, our prime directive. Love one another. Make yourselves at home in Christ's love. Make yourselves at home, if you will, in two places at once. At home in Christ's love, and at home with those who are called to serve in Christ's name. If it's possible to live in two places, to bifurcate our love, if that seems impossible, then know this. There's really no other way to love. There's no other way to live and love without living and loving God and others.